Continuing in chapter 2 of the book of Romans. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now this is hearkening back to chapter 1. And Paul had gone through a litany of all these unrighteous deeds that men do. Fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, etc. And what he's saying is, when you pass judgment on other people for doing things, like if someone were to steal from you, you know that it's wrong. So you judge them. They've done wickedly against me. Now when you steal, you've condemned yourself because you already passed judgment on someone else for doing the same thing. Now this does not mean thou shalt never judge, because that's not what it says. What it's saying is your own inner voice, which tells you it's wrong. See, when Paul... Sometimes people do things without conscience of it within themselves. I mean, they don't blame themselves, and they justify themselves. They give them, I had to do that because, and then they give their excuse. But they'll condemn someone else, though. Now, a person who's very reflective, this may not even apply, because they would also see that what they were doing was wrong. But the point is not, it's wrong to judge people for doing things. What it is when you judge, you are proving beyond any doubt that you know that the things you are doing are wrong as well. That's what it means. In verse 2, he says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. What it's saying is, it's not that there's no judgment concerning all those things. The judgment of God has already been made. We know what the judgment of God is concerning all those things that were listed. Whisperers, backbiters, all those things. God has already judged it. They are going to die. They are worthy of death. God has judged. So, I mean, it's not that I need to step in and do any judgment here. God has already judged those people. What it is man doesn't realize what a state he is in. Because he justifies himself. And what it's saying is, you are inexcusable. You don't have any excuse. Like where you say, well, I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know the judgment of God. What it's saying is, without the judgment of God, man is a judge of himself. In verse 3, it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you think that you're going to... You're a fool if you think that. Or the man who thinks such things is a fool. Verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In a sense, when you are standing in judgment of people, saying, oh, look at those sinners, all the wickedness they do, fornicators, adulterers, you know, that you have been as guilty as they are of the same things, either in your heart or in fact. And what he's saying is, you know, do you hate that? Is that why you love to stand in judgment of other people that way? Because we already know the judgment of God is set. Man doesn't have to step in and judge this all over again. Right? But it is the patience, the forbearance, it's his restraint, his tolerance, and his long suffering, you know, he suffers long with the wicked. See, he doesn't stretch his arm out and punish them immediately. He's good. He is rich in goodness and leads us to repentance. It's the fact that he, see, my life, most of it has been spent in sin. If God hadn't waited long for me to come to a certain point where I could say, now I'm not a drunkard anymore. But God had to be patient with me for many years when I was. And it was that patience and him putting up with me that worked repentance in my heart and led me to repentance. And he does that for other people too. So we shouldn't be so quick in jumping to judgment against people who are in sin. Not that the judgment of God is of none effect concerning such things. We know that that's the truth, that God hates sin. And all those sins listed in chapter 1, they're all, like it says in the final verse, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I tell you, to Christians today, it applies the same thing. If we do those things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we are the doers of those things, we will not. We will not inherit. I don't care what you think you believe, because there's no greater manifest token of disbelief than unwillingness to obey. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impertinent heart, impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Hold there for a second. So the saying is, the hardness, impenitent. That means, when English, without penance. But it means, hardness is callous, stubborn. Impenitent. I have down as... amenoios. It means without repentance. Unrepentant.